Loving Liberty Network proudly presents Heroes and Heroines, a weekly broadcast by Lawrence W. Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry Reed has written nearly 2,000 articles and columns and is the author of 8 books. Most recently, the thought-provoking Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty welcomes you to Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed.
The year is 1806. You're 23 years old, living in New England, and searching for a way to make a fortune. You've already declined an opportunity to attend Harvard at your father's expense because for the past 10 years, business was your fascination. Now, out on your own, you need to settle on an established trade or start an altogether new one. Here's an idea. Cut giant ice blocks out of ponds in wintry Massachusetts and put them on a ship bound for some steamy, hot Caribbean islands, a journey of 2 weeks or more. There you will sell the ice to people who have probably never seen frozen water in their lives. After the natives get a taste of your ice, there will be no end to their demand for it. Go into debt to finance this because in the long run, it's a sure thing. Are you nuts? Well, all this is exactly what Frederick Tudor actually did in 1806. Many people questioned his sanity for it, until it eventually transformed him into one of the richest Americans of his day. He began a trade that did not previously exist, overcame long odds and the consensus that his idea could not work, and earned the famous nickname, the Ice King. Entrepreneurs like Tudor are peculiar and fascinating. They see something nobody else sees, and they possess the courage to act on it. They think big. They endure setbacks and failures, but they press on. The rest of us, I'm convinced, do not fully appreciate the indispensable contributions they make to human progress. Without men and women willing to dream and take risks, life for the masses would surely still be, in the words of Thomas Hobbes, nasty, brutish, and short, just as it was for centuries until capitalism gave the entrepreneur a chance to succeed. Frederick Tudor's path to success was by no means easy or guaranteed. On the one hand, the ice itself was free, since he carved it from his family's pond. The sawdust that he used to insulate the ice was also free, as lumber mills regarded it as waste. They were happy to have Tudor haul it away. He did not have to worry about competition at first because he was alone in the business. But he found, as entrepreneurs always do, that the task was easier said than done. He sent his first shipload of ice to Martinique in 1806. What did not melt on the way, he was able to sell, but at a loss of $4,500. His next 3 shipments went to Cuba, producing an even bigger loss. By 1812, he found himself in bankruptcy and in debtor's prison, a laughingstock among the smug know-it-alls of Boston's elite. What happened next is best understood in light of Tudor's own words, written on the cover of his first diary. Quote, "He who gives back at the first repulse, and without striking the second blow, and who despairs of success has never been, is not, and never will be, a hero in war, love, or business." Well, Tudor did not give up on his dream. Instead, he tackled it with renewed vigor, armed with the lessons he learned from his early failures. 10 years after his first ill-fated ice venture, Tudor was earning a profit on regular shipments of ice to Cuba. His improvements in insulation and speedier voyages began to pay off. He developed profitable outlets for his ice in various cities in the southern U.S. as well. He still suffered occasional calamities, however, when he tried to bring fruit from the Caribbean back to New England, packed in unsold ice, it all rotted on ship before it could ever get to consumers. Tudor really hit the jackpot in the 1830s when he decided to sell ice in Calcutta, India. Think of it. The 16,000-mile voyage to Calcutta required 4 months in those days. Tudor packed 180 tons of ice onto his first ship to India. 80 tons melted on the way, but he still managed to profit when he sold the remainder. And for two decades thereafter, Tudor made a bundle shipping frozen water halfway around the world to thirsty Indians. He constantly experimented to discover better and cheaper ways to get the job done, and it made him a millionaire. In his fascinating 2002 history, titled The Frozen Water Trade, author Gavin Waitman paid tribute to the Ice King's achievements. Quote, "From the time he first shipped lake ice to the West Indies in 1806 to the beginnings of the Calcutta trade in the 1830s, Tudor clung to one conviction. People living in tropical climates would pay a good price for ice if they could get it. The inhabitants of Havana in Cuba and the British sweltering in Calcutta could make ice cream, cool their drinks, and relieve their suffering from fevers with ice harvested from the clear waters of New England's many spring-fed ponds. They could even enjoy crisp Baldwin apples from the orchards of Massachusetts and fresh churned butter, which Tudor packed in barrels and stowed alongside the ice." The story of Frederick Tudor, the Ice King, is slightly marred by one flaw. In some tropical destinations, he tried to get local governments to ensure him a monopoly on ice sales, and sometimes he got it. It takes two to tango in that dirty business, however, so if you fault Tudor for seeking such advantages, be sure to equally fault governments for assuming the power to sell them. By and large, however, Tudor stands as a remarkable genius of market entrepreneurship. His success ultimately depended far more on making the lives of ordinary people better than it did on securing a temporary favor from politicians. Tudor died in 1864 at the age of 80. The ice trade he had founded was by then a thriving worldwide business full of rival firms competing to sell ice to places as far-flung as Hong Kong and São Paulo. With the advent of ice-making machines in the early 20th century, no more fortunes were to be made by shipping the stuff across oceans. The ice trade that he started on the high seas was history. Carl Seaberg and Stanley Patterson concluded their 2003 biography of Tudor by noting, quote, "the enormous contribution that Frederick made to the everyday society of his time. By showing that it was possible to transport ice great distances, by educating people to its value in the preservation of food, by introducing them to foods from other climate zones, he spawned a whole new source of revenue for himself and others. He wanted to monopolize the whole system, but that was proved impossible. After all, he did not invent ice. He only took it out of ponds and transported it to where it did not occur naturally." I enjoy reading and writing about risk-taking wealth creators like Frederick Tudor, but I shudder at the thought of putting my own money where his dream was in 1806. I'm just grateful that he didn't have to wait for approval from me or from anybody else to give it a whirl. This is Lawrence Reed for Heroes and Heroines. Visit lawrencewreed.com for more stories like this one. Thank you.
Join us again next week for Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed. Broadcasts are archived at lawrencewreed.com and lovingliberty.net, home of a growing network of allies for liberty.